This is CliffCentral.com.
I think this was my favorite Bruno Mars this time.
Oh.
Because like he was making music and he was like, he was always the featuring Bruno Mars. He wasn't so much Bruno Mars. I'm not saying that he's obviously, I don't want to get this debate again. I'm not saying he's a bad artist or an average artist, but I thought this was his golden period.
Is this wasn't from the debut album, ne? No.
But I think he was featuring on B.O.B. here. I don't think it's his song, right?
It's B.O.B.'s song.
Yeah, he was featuring. Yeah. But it's around the time of his debut album.
You are great. Always, Mabali. Mabali, your charm and your wit. Yo. Oh,
where does that come from?
That's from Thabo. Uh-huh. Thabo is mesmerized by you, Mabali. Oh. I don't blame you. I get to work with her every day.
True. And you would suck her breasts if she had
Friends and people who care about me certainly would.
I don't know about you.
Okay, if you're wondering why I would suck my body's breast milk, well, catch the first hour on cliffcentral.com. That's where you can find all the podcasts that we do here. So anything from Justice Malala on a Monday for the Burning Platform, Rich Mulholland, Anthea's Money Shot. There's all kinds of other features. I tell you what's also worth giving a listen is Disrupt with Pumi Mklapo. Now, what Pumi does is he gets really smart people coming in here to talk about business and all kinds of other things. The podcast is powered by T-Systems South Africa and is available now on cliffcentral.com. The final episode of the recent episode, and Pumi spoke to the mastermind behind the repositioning of the Tiger Tail digital brand, Mr. Peter Grobler, managing executive, about disruptively building digital strategies using a wide range of research tools to support the client's digital transformation needs. So this is the beauty of podcasts, is that you can get to learn proper, actual business stuff from people who are actually in the field of things, of doing things. Like, they really are physically running businesses, they're changing industries. And a show like Disruptive and Pumi is something that really brings people to the fore. And the cool thing is that it's on a Tuesday live just after the show, so I get to listen to it before I leave here. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, then, well, the podcast is right there, cliffcentral.com. Mubs, it is the 14th of February, which is Valentine's Day.
This is true, Ben.
But you have something that might not be associated with a Valentine's Day.
Well, not so much. And,
you wouldn't want to.
Typically, Valentine's Day is supposed to be a time of love. And I think most of us are in agreement that we're okay with that. Except if you delve into the day's history, you'll find enough hateful crimes to fill a police folder. Yes.
Love gone wrong.
We're about to go through a few examples of exactly that, Sia. Love gone wrong.
Okay, so this maybe then sheds light onto Anushka's message earlier. I'd also like to send thoughts and prayers to Oscar, because Oscar committed a crime on Valentine's Day. Oscar Pistorius.
It has been five years. How quickly time moves on, hey?
5 years.
I mean, think back to 5 years ago, how essentially divided we were over the Oscar Pistorius Riva Steenkamp story. You were either on Oscar's side or you were not. And I remember conversations getting very heated.
Who was on Oscar's side?
People getting very emotional. Ben, there were a lot
of people who were praying for him and
there were a lot of people who were.
You're right.
Yeah. Can you do you remember how invested we all got into that story?
Oh,
and it's been 5 whole years and we've completely forgotten about it.
Look, that was my last year in high school, and I remember when we heard about it in the morning, basically all of our lessons were just out the window because we all sat there going, oh my goodness, can you believe? No, and we wanted to know more and we were waiting for news updates. My goodness.
All right, so let's go through some of these stories that made news headlines all around the world. We'll begin with the Valentine's killer. On the morning of Valentine's Day back in 2005, Paul Dyson said he swapped cards with his fiancée, Joanne Nelson. Excuse me. And it seemed like a perfectly normal day until Paul claimed that Joanne had mysteriously disappeared, going as far as to tell the cops that on Valentine's evening, his 22-year-old partner never came home from work. Mm. A big publicity drive was launched to track Joanne down, and a tearful Paul even appeared on TV begging for information and pleading for her safe return. But Paul would later confess to a friend that the whole appeal was a sham because he had actually strangled his partner in their home on February the 13th after an argument about housework. He then buried her body in an unmarked ditch where Joanne's remains were found a month after she was reported missing. But Dyson's friend couldn't keep this confession to himself, so he spilled the beans about the entire confession, and that is how Paul Dyson was caught and arrested for killing his partner on Valentine's Day.
Oh,
day of love, huh? Well, you know, do you think, like, is it like a symbolism, or is it like, coincidence, today's Valentine's Day, I'm just going to kill her?
I mean, in this case, it says that they had an argument prior to him killing her. So it sounds to me like something snapped and, you know, he then did something that he couldn't take back.
Basically human.
Oh.
Oh, hello. Sorry, guys. Obviously, the jet lag caught up with me. Humans are preconditioned to find a reason to do horrible or really nice things on a calendar day that's significant to them. Ooh. So if you look it up, you'll see that people do either very nice or very horrible things on their birthdays, on Valentine's Day, on the partner's birthday, around important events like anniversaries. People do that.
Jeez, I didn't even think
they
about
even
that.
Premeditate murder and stuff like that. But
on
specific days. Yeah, on this thing. By the way, listen, download part one. I was listening to it, which I don't get the privilege to do as an observer very often. I'm still laughing about Ben saying farm animals and
and Sears just
and the
so
North
cold.
And the North Koreans.
Shame. And shame. Still feel
I'm
bad.
Sorry.
For
them. I'm still laughing about it. Download part one because you won't be sorry. It was hilarious. It was the best drive I've ever had. I was stuck in bumper to bumper traffic, but it was hilarious. Made my whole morning. Anyway, so what I was going to get to is that I read a really interesting article by Stephen Friedman yesterday about this whole Zuma exit thing. Mm-hmm. And he said that he actually, I surmised from what he'd said. You remember the whole mob reaction to Oscar Pistorius?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was like, he must go to jail. It's not good enough that he's just been found guilty of manslaughter. He should go for murder. And we just wanted blood.
Mm.
And you remember all of that. Now everybody's talking like this about the president. They just want blood.
Mm-hmm.
We've got this mob mentality in this country that really worries me. And I thought it was an interesting article because, and by no means am I a major Jacob Zuma fan. You know that. How many years? I wrote the letter to the president back in 2010.
Well, I mean, yesterday you were suggesting that civilians be paid back some of the money.
Yeah, but I don't, I'm not looking for blood here. I know we don't like this guy. I know he's done us wrong. But we seem to have this idea that if we just get violent and we just throw someone in jail and we just treat them like dirt, like we'll get our feelings less hurt and we'll feel better about ourselves. I'm just a little concerned that we're playing the man instead of the ball here. Like, I know Jacob Zuma's been bad for us. I know he's an awful human being, but it's not going to make us feel better to put him behind bars, and it's not going to fix the things that are screwed up. And what we've got to stop doing is trying to satisfy our bloodlust because we feel wronged. It's just really, really childish. And I know this is something a lot of people struggle with. But it's the same as the Oscar thing. You were not personally wounded by Oscar killing Reva. And Oscar going to jail has not helped you at all. It has not changed your life.
Things.
And neither will Jacob Zuma going to jail. We've got to stop this idea that, like, now suddenly. Remember, everybody was okay with Jacob Zuma back in Polokwane. Remember, everyone is okay with it except Thabo Mbeki.
Well, I mean, we didn't know what was coming our way.
Well, we didn't. But well, we could have known because this guy was accused of fraud and rape and all kinds of things before then, and we knew what kind of a human being we were dealing with because we'd heard his testimony about the whole Kwesi situation where he said, just take a shower, and she was a daughter of a friend, and we knew what we were dealing with from a moral point of view. But this idea that we now need to get someone back.
Okay, but now the next person then does exactly what he does, and they go, oh, well, it's not like anything's going to happen to me.
I mean, no. I'm not saying there shouldn't be consequences, but
But that's just it, though. With someone as base and dreadful, and it's not really the same as Oscar, because, yes, Oscar didn't hurt us. This dipshit has hurt us. He's hurt our country.
I agree, Ben,
he's regressed as a society.
But we still have law, and the law must apply, and let these charges of fraud be processed, and let all of this go through the system properly,
which will then lead to jail, which is where we are.
That's absolutely fine, but the bloodlust before the fact is unhealthy. That's all I'm saying. It's a very basic human thing, and we've got to try and steer away from that. We're trying to be better creatures. You know what I mean? I get that you hate the guy. I get that most of the country hates the guy, even though we've all changed our position a couple of times, including me. I was a big supporter of him at Polokwane, remember? Tabo Mudisani, who was on the show with us, thought I was a lunatic because I wasn't backing Tabo Mbeki. You remember?
Yeah.
He was angry with me for like weeks. He wouldn't talk to me.
Look, I feel as if the bloodlust is a very human trait that we have, probably that still keeps us in our primitive state. Mm-hmm. Because this happens every time, you know. You hear about Bill Cosby and you think, oh, or you scream murder. You hear about Harvey Weinstein and you think, oh, he must pay. Yeah. He must suffer for the full wrath of the... We do it every time.
We're like these medieval... We haven't evolved. We're like these medieval creatures who want to put the thumb screws on someone else and we want to see someone else being flayed alive.
We want to see them suffer.
We do want to see them suffer.
I'm just saying that's a very primitive response. Mm. And as much as someone has wronged you, seeing them suffer does not make you better. In fact, it can make you a whole lot worse because you sink back into regressive behavior and you become more primitive, and it's not necessarily a good thing. Let's do this properly. Let's go by the rules, because that's why we set laws up. We set laws up because humans are fallible.
Well, when we started this conversation, I was saying, do you remember how invested we all were in the Oscar Pistorius thing?
Big time.
And now today, most of us are shocked that, oh my God, has it really been 5 years? Mm. Because we all completely forgot about Oscar Pistorius, who is currently serving a 13-year jail sentence.
Right.
Yeah, guys, people also forgot about Grey's Anatomy and Max Steamers and those things. Because
what did Grey's Anatomy do to you?
It's all entertainment. Can I just bring something up?
You left us on a cliffhanger yesterday. You said, right at the end of the show, we were packing up to get out of the studio. And Ben said, look up Vajankle.
No.
All right, so we went on the internet. All of us innocently typed in V-A-J-A-N-K-L-E. Vajankle.
You set us up.
I mean, look, it was a bit of a pre-Valentine's kind of...
What a horrible
thing. Who spends Valentine's... You know what? Actually, let's not judge. Anyway.
What a horrible thing.
Well, guys, everyone's got fetishes.
Okay, so now you have to get into the Vajankle because...
Yeah, you need to tell us how you discovered
this. This is where we now find ourselves.
You don't just type in a word that's made up like Vajankle and stuff comes up and you go, hey, I better tell my buddy and Gareth and see about this.
See, Gareth, this is what happens behind the scenes. The three of us, we put together content for the show, and Vajankles appear on radars.
Sure.
So basically, if you are familiar with really bad car accidents, you might see limbs and pieces lying on the side of the road. If you were to see a foot, basically a foot, then you add a fake vagina onto where the ankle is, a fleshlight, if you will. See, do not vomit. We just got over the cockroaches.
So do people who have a foot fetish, do they...
So, exactly, this is the whole thing. If you've got a foot fetish, which I think Quentin Tarantino did, or Harvey Weinstein... I mean, Harvey's got a fetish.
Harvey's got problems.
So basically, what a vajankle is, it's a fleshlight in the ankle of a very realistic foot. And then what you do is you basically...
Yes, go on, Ben.
Well, look, I mean,
it's already here, so it's a
vagina in an ankle, and I think you pretty much know that this
all
is
right,
a
you know what happens, people put their penises in it. All right, I have to tell you a quick story about what my friend and I did when we were at high school.
We got a foot,
like a prosthetic foot thing. It looked very realistic. It was plastic. And we put a bone in it. And we put some cotton wool with tomato sauce on it around the bone, so it looked very real. And we put it in the road with a piece of like fish gut attached to it. And then, then when someone would walk past, we would pull it and it would move.
Oh,
and they would shit themselves and run to the other side of the road.
I would also...
Reminds me of a vajankle.
I would also shit myself. Wow, can you imagine what looks like a foot moving on its own?
But just imagine, like, you have a one-night stand with someone, because I don't own a fleshlight, but I understand how it's a sex toy that has become an absolute phenomenon in the world.
Sure, a lot of people have them.
So
they sell hundreds of millions.
They sell hundreds of millions. Okay, so from my curiosity about how the world works, what happens with a flashlight is that you obviously clean it out at a basin.
What?
Well,
what are you going to do?
Oh, right. Okay. Are you going to reuse
true,
it?
True.
What are you going to do?
Then you're going to
just yeah. Okay.
You have to see the doctor soon.
You know the way everything freaks Sia out, like the breast milk this morning with Mabali and everything else. The way everything freaks you out, I'm surprised you're actually able to have any sexual relations with any human being.
Bodily very good point. That's a very good
How
point.
Does
we'll,
it work?
We'll put a pin on that for a second. So just imagine you go into someone's apartment after a one night stand and there's a vajankle on the basin.
Listen, guys.
Drying out upside down.
No, but guys, think about it. A lot of people don't even know what fleshlights are, let alone a vajankle.
Yeah.
You are seeing a severed foot. You wouldn't even see the vagina.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
Because you go, oh my gosh, there's a. Because these things look so amazingly real.
Listen.
You would run out of there screaming like you were on fire.
Yeah, yes. I'd be done.
Yes. Because immediately you're thinking, wow, I'm about to end up being chopped up into pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be this my one. Foot on his basin next. I'm out. I'm out.
You know, there's a part
By
of
the way, do they make a black vagina?
Look, I don't
That's
know.
A very good question.
I don't
Gareth.
Know if they do. They'll probably get there eventually.
I am so sick of racism in sex toys.
Oh, is that so?
I'm so sick of it. It is unacceptable. All they ever do with black women is booty. They don't do any of the front or the foot or anything else.
Thank you for standing up
Always
for such
booty.
A worthy cause.
Tired of black women being objectified in sex toys like this and only in certain areas.
Okay, I think it's the final word on the vajankle. You can get a...
No, I don't.
You can buy a single vajankle or they come as a pair.
Oh, fantastic.
I absolutely consider it that you can get a pair of vajankles.
So you get a left and a right vajankle. Very
fantastic.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Oh, that is absolutely amazing. Mm. Oh, so yesterday, the Henry van Bredaar final Ooh. Prosecution
yes.
defense thing?
Yes,
I'd love to catch up on that.
And you know that we said that the defense has nothing?
Can I just point out, I know we're talking about a whole lot of things this morning, and you guys already covered the Winter Olympics. By the way, Ben, you have made the Winter Olympics sound like the best thing ever. And
it's,
I believe
it's
you, because I watched a bit of it yesterday, the alpine skiing, and the cross country, basically, where they have to go uphill. Do you know how hard that is?
It is one of the most incredible feats of stamina.
It is, because I can tell you, just from skiing last week, trying to walk uphill in skis, because you're sliding backwards the whole time, is one of the hardest things ever. You actually have to point your skis, you have to go like a knock-kneed person, and then walk like a duck. And then you can sort of clamber up a hill. Some people are very good at it. I could not get that right, try as I may. I've just got to point out that the Winter Olympics, it's just the kind of stuff that you wouldn't normally see. It's fascinating to watch. And Ben has delivered some amazing reports on kind of what you're missing if you're not doing this, to the point where I even care about curling. And the other news story before we get into all the things that we said we would get into, and Henry van Bredaar, is just do not waste your time. I want to save you hours of your time from here on in. Ace Magashule is the Secretary General of the ANC. Mm. Please do not waste a minute of your year going forward listening to this doofus. He took 50 minutes to tell us nothing yesterday.
Basically.
People were so upset.
Nothing. The guy called a press conference, Jesse Duarte, that poison troll. She sits next to him. She has poison nothing troll. To say.
Yeah.
She sits there with a mouthful of teeth the whole way through the conference. Ace is up there rambling incoherently. The guy, I don't know how someone of that level of mediocrity gets to be important. In a country, I mean, that is the most average person in South Africa. There is nothing about Ace that is exceptional. Nothing.
Well,
nothing.
He's got persistence, which is that political Trump card.
Look, he may have things that we don't know about, levels of deception, levels of manipulation that we don't understand. This is the most unexceptional guy, and for him to waste 50 minutes, because I listened to the whole press conference yesterday, hoping he'd just say, we're going to throw the president out, or we're going to keep him. I mean, the way he was talking about him, it's like someone who's in a toxic relationship. I love her, but I don't. But I love her, but she hits me. But
I need her.
I need her, but She apologizes after she's hit me.
Mm.
We're in exhaustive consultation. I mean, you've never heard such childish, amateurish discussion around a matter of state. Can we please have some leadership? Don't waste your time listening to Ace Magashule is my piece of advice for the morning. If you do nothing else for the rest of 2018, I will save you hours.
Listen, after people were upset, they then do what South Africans typically do, which is then to make jokes about the situation because we need to feel better about ourselves.
Right.
And one of the most retweeted tweets was from Karabo Mahoko, who says, I need clarification here. Magashule said, quote, I'm sure President Zuma will respond tomorrow. Question, is it the English or the South African, I'm sure? English, I'm sure, as in I'm certain. South African, I'm sure, as in maybe.
That's beautiful.
So, yeah. It's
all right. So, can we talk about Henry van Breda?
Well,
this is our big crime story. We believe this is overshadowed Oscar Pistorius in every which way. It's more violent.
Mm.
It's about actual blood relatives.
More casualties.
More casualties. It's been, for us, an open and shut case from day one.
It really has been. But something that made me laugh yesterday, I was driving around from meeting to meeting, and I heard normal radio cover the story.
Mm-hmm. What did they say?
And they just gave a headline. But the story, if you look at the headlines, everything's in the balance still, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is absolutely preposterous.
This is like when Fox News try to be fair and balanced, but they only give a shit about one point of view.
So they said that basically the defense was saying that they cannot prove beyond reasonable doubt that Henry killed his family.
Right.
So therefore, all charges must be thrown out. Simple as that.
Is that what they said?
And that was pretty much all they had to work on.
Okay,
because that's all this case provides the media.
Yeah.
So do you know what reasonable doubt is?
Okay.
What's the definition exactly?
Okay, so in law, they have this idea called the reasonable man theory. They take...
It's a bit of a leap for Henry, really.
They take someone who hasn't got mental illness, who doesn't have intellectual incapacity, anybody, Sia, Mabale, Gareth, Ace Magashule, whoever. maybe not the last one, but you get the basic idea.
Yeah.
And what they do is they then say, well, in a situation like this, what would the reasonable man do? Like if you were in a nightclub and a fire broke out, the reasonable man would?
Try to get out.
Right. If you were in a situation where you were being attacked by a bear, the reasonable man would either run or fight, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so the reasonable man would not pick up a fire extinguisher and blow it in the bear's face. Or, worse example, a reasonable man would not fashion a weapon from a toilet seat and over a period of 3 days plan the attack on the bear. It would just, the reasonable person would get away.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in law, the reasonable man theory states that the Occam's razor comes into this. Occam's razor is this idea that given a set of circumstances or a set of facts, the most obvious one, the most sensible conclusion is the one that you must draw, not the most complicated one. In other words, if there are 55 possibilities, the most sensible, direct, logical, obvious, reasonable one would be the one that most people would go to.
Right.
In this case, the reasonable man would have to surmise, and beyond a reasonable doubt means the reasonable person, someone who's not incapacitated, someone who's not bizarrely full of phobias and made up nonsense in their heads, you'd have to deduce there wasn't a person besides Henry van Breda who could have done this.
Mm.
There's absolutely, the defense has given no idea of who this other person could be. No one else has been arrested.
Mm.
There are no fingerprints or facts around some other person breaking into the house. Nothing was stolen, as we pointed out yesterday. The reasonable man would say, it's clearly him.
Sorry, Gareth, we got a breaking news story that's coming in.
Uh-oh.
You fucking bloody...
Saxon World, the Hawks have swooped on the Gupta compound in Saxon World right now.
What?
Fucking mother,
we've got a camera on the scene.
Fuck you! Fucking bloody bastard! Banjo, bloody...
It's now trending on Twitter. The Saxon World should be in as being...
Stop.
Bloody fucking... Why you fuck me?
This is incredible. According to ENCA, the
Guptas are turning on each other.
The Gupta compound has been raided as we speak.
Wow.
What the fuck, man?
Well, I mean,
well, this is a developing
is that
story.
Atul and
well, Gareth, unfortunately, we've just got an audio link there now. We'll get some visuals in a bit.
This is exactly what we were calling for. Was for
I don't know. You are
action.
Doing like this. I think you are going to accident.
No, shouting at me, no good, man.
Oh, that's no good.
Sounds horrendous.
Mandy wow. Wiener 6 minutes ago just tweeted, "I'll never forget standing outside Zuma's house in Forest Town, 2005, watching the Scorpions raid the property and the standoff with his VIP detail." This morning, Zuma is being asked to resign and the Hawks are in Saxon World. What a long 12 years it's been.
Wow,
this is not outside the compound.
Clearly the Guptas are turning on each other.
Yeah.
Very angry.
Wow, how about that, hey? So, I mean, they've... Oh. What a morning. We can't even finish the story. There's so much going on
it's
here.
It's a high-pressure time.
All right, so can we just get to Henry?
Yeah, okay. Sorry, Gareth. What's
the latest?
So, to get back to what you were saying, Gareth, Pieter Botha, who is now for
Shame.
Henry...
What a job.
So, his argument was that the state has not brought any witnesses or direct evidence to implicate... Van Breda. You know, you were just talking about reasonable doubt right now. So they're saying, but where's your witness that says that Henry definitely did this? Oh, you can't provide one? Oh, well.
What if he was the only person in the house?
What?
Yes.
Wait, how is that a thing in a court of law?
No, this is what a lawyer, he's trying to do what a lawyer's meant to do, which is to try and represent his client as best he can. He's not able to lie. Because then he would be, as an officer of the court, in contempt of court himself.
Mm-hmm.
So what he has to do is he has to throw doubt in everywhere. He has to say, well, there could have been an intruder, but you've given no fact. In other words, trying to make it the state's problem to prove that there is an intruder, which the state never said there was. The state just said there was Henry.
Yeah. But this is where like law fails me, because I get it, Gareth, and thank you for being so comprehensive about the reasonable man theory. But then there's the reasonable common sense.
Yes.
It was definitely him theory.
Like, yeah.
Exactly.
So some of the people then...
it was definitely him
definitely
theory.
Him
it
theory.
Was the definitely him theory.
It was most definitely that guy theory.
Yes, you're right.
But you know, like Star Trek came back in court yesterday.
The mention of Star Trek.
Yes.
What?
They were watching Star Trek. I guess.
Right.
So Botha said, so according to the News 24 article, Botha said there was no evidence of an argument on the night of the murders, despite the testimony of neighbor Stephanie Opthoff, who said she heard raised noises.
Hmm.
Raised noises.
What does that mean? Raised voices?
Sorry.
Yes, Ben.
Noises are what the Nordic people make. Yeah. He maintained that she could only have been hearing Star Trek 2, which the Van Breda men had ostensibly been watching.
Yeah.
She's still mad.
The Van Breda men were watching Star Trek, and then suddenly they were all just axe murdered.
This is what the Van Breda men are known for.
By a person. Who broke into the house with no other purpose but to axe murder them and leave with no trace.
Right.
Someone who had clearly, I mean, to axe murder someone, you really have to hate them.
Yes.
True. Yeah.
This would be someone who the Van Bredas had plotted against for years, like in the soap opera sense.
Or someone that they had wronged terribly.
I mean.
And someone who's super smart to get through security without being
undetected
noticed.
Undetected, break into a golf estate, which is closed off to the rest of humanity. I mean, we know how these estates work, right?
Yeah. Yep.
You practically have to give a blood sample before
Correct.
You enter.
I mean, we've all tried to get in and you sign 100 forms, they scan your ID, they scan your car. You would know if someone had got into this estate legally, and if someone had scaled the wall and miraculously not set off any alarms and no dogs had been barking and they'd managed to, I don't know, however, get into the house without any sign of forced entry and then violently axe-murdered an entire family and tried to kill the one daughter who they didn't know that they'd left alive and somehow left Henry alone even though he'd scuffled with them and there were a couple of cuts on him just to make it look like he'd had a fight.
Mm. But also, the intruder did manage to get away even though Henry was left alive. So obviously, Henry wasn't able to go after this guy and seriously wound him after discovering that he had killed his father, his mother, his brother, and severely injured his sister.
And after
Henry
all that,
let the intruder go.
That's why he couldn't deal with the intrusion.
Even, not
so
even
he had
the
to
laptop
smoke.
On the kitchen counter, which was on the way out, supposedly, was taken.
Yes.
Nothing was taken. The purse, nothing. And Henry has two cigarettes. And calls his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Three cigarettes. Well, he got the third one from the intruder. Obviously, as he was leaving.
So moved by the entire ordeal that he had to call his girlfriend to calm down and also smoke.
It's outrageous.
Makes sense.
Absolutely
the outrageous. Unreasonable man theory is to believe that.
Mm. And it has to be.
You have to be crazy. You have to be certifiably insane to believe Henry's lawyer's version.
Yeah.
This lawyer should be checked out for mental illness.
Well, he's doing whatever he can. I mean, he's just...
He's doing his job.
He's really holding on for dear life. That's all he's got.
And by the way, folks, there actually is a TV production in the making of the Fun Bradar case.
Is it going to be on that other channel that did the Oscar Pistorius?
Lifetime, no. Yeah. We don't know just yet. It's a US production company who've bought the rights to the book called The DeZulza Murders, which was written by the journalist Julian Janssen. So the company plans to actually rope in Janssen as the executive producer.
Aren't we meant to talk to him at some point?
I've been trying for the longest of times.
I've got the book in my desk and it's been sitting there.
He's based in the Cape, so maybe we should actually just Skype him in instead of waiting
so someone's
for him to
actually
come here.
It's not just us. Someone actually has put pen to paper on this.
It's not... I know we like to take credit, like we're the only people in the whole universe who are paying attention to this.
Yeah. But Julian Janssen,
it's become our pet project. But it's actually this guy's full-time job.
He was actually one of the first journalists on the scene.
Well, then he must step forth. Step forth and sprout.
We have a lot of questions for him, yes.
Anyway, so, all right. The prosecution, they've finished with their closing arguments. Now the defense is finishing up with theirs. So are we going to have a verdict anytime soon? I mean, do we know what the timelines are on this?
Well, I don't think we need a verdict here because our minds are made. We don't need...
And now this guy is shaving his head, as we discussed yesterday. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of very dodgy behavior from him, which doesn't help his case. I mean, he's really done himself no favors. He's clearly mentally ill. The guy's a psychopath.
Well, as said today, the defense will continue with their heads of argument.
Yeah.
After which the state will have opportunity to respond. So, it's a bit of chess, but...
Can we just... I know we're jumping around, but man, is it exciting or what that the Gupta compound is being raided by the Hawks?
Unbelievable.
That's quite something.
What a day.
Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day, South Africa.
Yeah, but it'd be
the
nice.
The people who stole your lover.
The day of love. Yeah. This is what's happening.
Isn't this great? Isn't this terrific news? But this is quite something.
I hope they're there, because there's a good chance they're not there. And then it's going to be a bit of an anticlimax. But still, if you're in the Saxonwold area, send us some pics.
Well, apparently the streets surrounding the compound have been closed to traffic. That's the latest I'm seeing.
Oh.
And the Hawks are actually shutting down the entire area to stop any... I think a lot of this stuff has been burnt and leaked and shredded.
Yeah,
already.
Sure, of course.
I think these guys knew that we were onto them. I think back in the Watercliff Landing days, they already were spooked. And they decided to destroy as much evidence as possible.
But, you know, you got to spare a thought for the people who live in that area. It's a really well-to-do, posh neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're talking 20 million rand up kind of houses, old traditional wealth families. They're sitting there, and they got these guys next to them. So when you talk about paying back the money, I reckon they should get some inconvenience spend thrown their way.
Well, absolutely. They're clutching their pearls right now. That's what people in that neighborhood do.
We must get into another story. Well, obviously, you know, Donald Trump's been a big deal since... I think it was 3 years he'd been making headlines on a daily basis now. How long has he been in office for?
Not a year yet.
So then, but the run into getting that, there was the whole, he's actually going to run. No, he's not. He's only laughing.
Yes.
And that's still about 3 years. But you remember back when he was, of course, The Apprentice, that Omarosa.
Yeah.
Omarosa. Well, she had some things to say, which has kind of surfaced this week.
Okay.
So here she is talking with Ross Matthews.
And yet the results didn't come out the way you wanted.
No, you didn't show up. The
equipment didn't work.
Take
and then I had to check. I'm going to take you to court for the 175, but I want my
I'm not going to pay you anything else. I'll pay you it all in court. See you then.
It's like a call to duty. I felt like I was serving my country, not serving him.
See, is she fighting with someone here?
No, what is happening? Something else is playing on your laptop. But
I think it's still the Gupta. No, it's not the Gupta compound.
Yes. Because you'll have to start it again.
Okay. Sorry. Right.
Yeah, let me just get some context.
While Ben's figuring that out.
While I'm figuring out how to work media.
Yeah.
While Ben's figuring that out, there's a terrible injustice that's going on.
Uh-oh.
In the world of woke media.
Uh-oh.
I mean BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed are talking about the objectification of women. And they interviewed Ariana Grande and how she spoke out about women being objectified by men. and how disgusting they think it is. This is BuzzFeed. And then just this week, they published this story about 11 men's luge bulges that all deserve gold medals. Objectifying men's packages.
Oh, okay,
so
okay.
They're the pictures are mugs of men's packages in spandex. Clearly, BuzzFeed don't have a problem with, you know, this is this hypocrisy that you see so much in the woke media. You know, you talk about objectifying women because maybe they're wearing a little dress and, you know, showing off some titty. And then they zoom in on 11 different men in the luge at the Winter Olympics that they want you to look at, to gawk at, to observe at close quarters their packages. Now, this is sexist and objectification, and it's just wrong.
I really have such an
stupid
issue
BuzzFeed
with these tights that they make them wear.
I know they're bad, right?
Did you see the aerodynamics?
I mean, I understand that, you know, they're for a purpose, but yo, do these people look ridiculous?
What is it called, that thing that they go downhill at huge speed, Ben, and then they lurch forward and kind of fly as far as they can? It's almost like a long jump in skis.
Yeah, ski jumping.
Is that it? Okay, yeah. Ski jumping. You must see these crazy outfits these people have to wear.
Oh, yeah. They're like,
again, skin tight. I mean, it's the most ridiculous outfit you've ever
in
seen.
In my mind, that's how a sperm cell looks. When it's racing to.
Okay, so yeah.
I don't know why.
Oh, you go through levels. Okay.
Right, but enough of this.
Omarosa.
Hang on. Enough of this objectification. I just want to point out it's not acceptable.
Which countries were going for gold in that, by the way?
Yeah.
But they had an American athlete in the picture. I don't know who else. I didn't read the article.
I mean, look, it's cold. So if they're going for gold,
you know what I'm saying. Yeah.
Got to think about this.
Yeah.
Okay, so Omarosa, sorry, Sia, you intro this.
Context with this. So Omarosa, we know she was very close with Trump in the Apprentice days, and then she worked at the White House. And then there was this recent hoo-ha over her being asked to leave the White House.
So, sorry, when did she start working in the White House?
It was a couple of months ago, and she lasted all of like a couple of seconds, really. But it's
kind of like as long as she lasted on the Apprentice.
Really, quite, yeah. And it was this whole thing of people saying, no, she was actually forced out of the White House, like actually throw her things thrown out of the White House. She was pulled out. She said, no, she couldn't stand it anymore. And so in true Omarosa dramatic fashion, she's now been offered $1 million+ to enter Big Brother. Remember, we spoke about the Big Brother house a few weeks ago here.
This woman is in danger of becoming a permanent reality TV contractor.
But you have to slightly admire American TV producers to just poke the bear at this point. So they've offered her more than $1 million to appear in Big Brother because they know she talks. Now, at this point, if you even Google Omarosa and Trump in the White House, you see them very cozy together in meetings, and you'll see that Omarosa has her phone out.
Right.
She said that she has very private recordings that she's about to leak and she's about to write a book. And while on Big Brother, she's also just speaking very, very openly about what she experienced at the White House.
So this is her in the Big Brother house?
In the Big Brother house, talking to a fellow housemate.
Okay.
It's a mess.
And from the outside, can I tell you as a voter, a citizen, I never got it why you went to the White House with him.
I felt like it was like a call to duty. I felt like I was serving my country, not serving him. Whenever was it accepting a political appointment, it was always about the country. Like, I was haunted by tweets every single day. Like, what is he going to tweet next?
Does anybody say to him, what are you doing?
I mean, I tried to be that person, and then all of the people around him attacked me. It was like, keep her away. Don't give her access. Don't let her talk to him. And it's like, and Ivanka's there, Jared's there. And it's...
Who has that power to say what's going on?
I don't know.
Oh,
I'm not
God.
There.
It sounds like the worst housewife babble over crap
my
in my life.
It's not my monkeys. You know, I'd like to say not my problem, but I can't say that because, like, it's bad.
Sorry, Sia, but this is absolute dribble. This woman, she's serving her country.
She's also she's having some kind of crisis of conscience.
I do love the dramatic music.
Yes.
Ding, 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 ding.
Like, I'll tell you what's a much better housewife conversation. You know, earlier I said this, I've got this Bitcoin thing I wanted to play for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty funny. So if you're still on the fence about if you like Bitcoin, don't like Bitcoin, I mean, look, everyone's got a theory.
Mm-hmm.
But theories are great until someone actually tries to then ask questions on your theories, but you haven't got an answer.
So yeah.
This is funny. Why is this thing not working?
It's, no, it's just very soft. You have to just turn that thing the hell up.
Guys, it's up. And
simple to use.
Transactions
take place through the use of cryptography and are verified.
Yeah, so talk about housewives having crypto.
Where? Bitcoin.
What's Bitcoin?
Bitcoin is the first decentralized digital cryptocurrency that works without a central bank.
Well, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, and it's so simple to use. Transactions take place through the use of cryptography and are verified by network nodes and recorded in an immutable public distributed ledger called a blockchain. What could be simpler than that?
Nothing. It sounds great.
Right. So is it like investing in stocks?
Kind of, but not at all.
Well, I'm on board.
Really? Because I have so many more questions.
Not me.
Where can I get one of these bitcoins? Can I buy one at my local bank?
Of course not. What a dumb question.
But it was valid.
No, it was dumb.
Bitcoins aren't like regular currency. They're mined.
In a physical mine, like gold?
That's ridiculous. Bitcoins are mined on computers using the SHA-256 hashing algorithm, creating 12.5 bitcoins per block.
Uh-huh.
That is until mid-2020.
Uh-huh.
And then afterwards, 6.25 bitcoins per block for 4 years until the next halving.
Wait, are we still talking about money?
Cryptocurrency.
This sounds so simple.
Shut up, Margaret. There's no way you understood all of that.
Okay.
Shut up, Margaret.
How much do one of these bitcoins cost?
$17,000.
$17,000? That's insane.
Sounds like a bargain.
Ugh. And how do you keep track of these things' values?
Just check the internet. So far today, its value has gone up $1,000. And now it's down $800. And now it's up $500.
Sounds like you can't lose.
You absolutely can, Margaret.
How do I buy bitcoins?
It's easy. Just go online and give them your credit card number.
Give who your credit card number?
Bitcoin. And then let the internet do what it does.
What does it do exactly?
It bitcoins.
Here's my credit card.
No! So who started Bitcoin?
We think it was Satoshi Nakamoto.
Who is that?
No one really knows.
He sounds cute.
Margaret, I swear to God.
And Bitcoin is the only cryptocurrency I trust with my kids' college fund.
That's smart investing.
That's bad. Crazy.
Now it's down to $3. Easy come, easy go.
That one really bitchy woman sounds a lot like my buddy.
Shut up, Margaret.
That's my
she was going to snap, yeah, Margaret.
That's my girl.
Ashley Price's. See, I don't think we can play any more of Omarosa.
No.
I think she had her moments. And Gareth's right. She's like a reality contract.
She's a hack.
Serial contractor.
I mean, this Omarosa, the only reason that we remember her is because she's Donald Trump's only black friend.
And everyone called her the spokesperson for black people in the White House.
I mean, it's just outrageous that this woman has ever come to prominence. She's not important. She was a reality TV star. She was crappy in The Apprentice. She's a crappy person in real life. She was no use in the White House. And Donald Trump keeps a lot of people around him just because I know them. They're great people. Mm. She's a great person. Omarosa is terrific. I've known her a long time. That's his reason to have her around. That doesn't mean she's useful. And now she's just proven it by going on to Big Brother and sitting there and having this crisis of conscience because now America's going, well, how could you, Omarosa? How could you work for Donald Trump?
Yeah.
So she's trying to win back.
She says America should all be worried. And then one of the girls who's also in the house is Keisha Knight Pillingham, who was the kid from The Cosby Show.
Rudy Huxtable.
Yes.
Now her stories would be interesting about Bill.
The two of them actually are in a conversation and she actually tells Rudy, like, listen, you are not to judge me because you supported Cosby so I can support Trump. You know what it's like to stand up for someone. So,
stoned at this woman. But ultimately with her is that it's Omarosa. She hasn't Omarosa.
I love it.
Omarosa.
She just sounds like a Nigerian footballer to me. So I'm sorry. She hasn't been interviewed by Oprah, so therefore she has no credibility.
No.
If she had any credibility going for her, she would be interviewed by Oprah.
Yeah, what exactly?
So, I mean, that's all I got for you.
I mean, we've got Sia sitting here, who's Oprah's godchild.
Yeah.
Just to catch up on a couple of messages, I'm married to a Cuban. This is my word for the day, the Oracle. Now, that sounds dirty. Why can Ben taste my buddy's juice and I get shot down every time?
I was going to taste your juice.
No, this is a matter of, this is a health issue. It's not a pleasure issue.
If you want to get more context in that story, the first hour podcast. Hawks are busy raiding the Gupta Saxon World compound. Yeah, there's a lot of messages around that. Zuma proverb, a man who was born and raised in a rondavel cannot be pushed into a corner.
Right.
Loved that. I saw that last night. And there was obviously rain in Cape Town last night, so people are getting very excited about that. And then Mick says,
great.
Gareth, please don't forget to post a picture of my buddy's phone. If you can't, at least mention the make and the model of these.
What is it?
It's an LG G4.
Which was made in 1998.
It's been good to me.
She's attached to the damn thing. She will not get rid of it. It's fallen out of her hand and shattered into a million pieces in front of me.
Which just shows how, you know,
it's resilient.
All right, I got to play you something quickly. I don't know how much time we've got here, but if you loved Seinfeld, then this will ring a bell. This is how Daryl Bristow Bovey, who's a South African writer, imagines the meeting went between Jacob Zuma and the ANC. And the ANC in this clip is George Costanza from Seinfeld. All right, take a listen to this. This is the breakup between...
Maura, I want you to know I've given this a lot of thought. I'm sorry, but we have to break up.
No.
What's that?
We're not breaking up.
We're not?
No.
All right.
That's pretty much. Zuma.
That's
how it works.
Yeah, look.
And it's a no with no justification.
She doesn't
we're
give
not.
Any reason. No,
we're just not.
Nope. No. I'm still going to be president.
You do have to admire how much fun people have been having with this whole story, though. You know, as gloomy and as serious as it actually is. All sorts of hashtags have been springing up left, right, and center. Hashtag Zuma exit party.
It's too much.
I mean, people have venues booked.
Oh,
people
Sole has been going crazy on Country Duty. And you know that there's that show this evening. Mm-hmm. Now, Country Duty, he's got hashtag Gupta compound, hashtag Gupta raid, hashtag Zuma resigns. Today should have been declared a public holiday. So much is happening.
Actually,
so true.
More than a public holiday, it's too much emotionally going on.
Well, this is Valentine's Day. You were expecting an emotional roller coaster. Trust the president and the Hawks to give you an emotional roller coaster.
It's also Singles Awareness Day.
Singles Awareness Day.
Did you just make that up?
No.
Bullshit.
A lot of sad single people who also want attention on this
I'm
day.
I'm not sad. A friend of mine invited me. She invited a bunch of us on this WhatsApp group we've got, and she said, oh, there's this singles night, and there's going to be music, and there's going to be drinks. I could think of nothing worse than a singles night. A whole bunch of people who are desperate to be in relationships, which is why they're at a singles night.
So also the problem with singles night is there's probably one or two attractive singles, so everyone focuses on them.
Yeah.
The rest are monsters.
Yeah. It's a shame.
You don't want to be there. Trust me, if you've been invited to a singles night and you've accepted the invitation, find an excuse really quickly. Get out of that as quickly as you can. You're going to end up with horrible people. Desperate. They're all, you could see the sexual, what would you call it? Like a
tension.
Yeah, well.
Desperation.
The desperation.
Ambition.
Thank you.
Sexual
you can
ambition.
See the sexual desperation, the lust and the incredible need to be loved from a mile away. You could smell their desperation as you walk into the room. Stay away from singles nights. There's only one thing worse than being in an unhappy relationship, and that is wanting to be in a relationship when you're not in one and you haven't been able to find anybody. It's like... the pheromones are just out of control. You can immediately see in someone's eyes. You can tell there's some animal instinct you could pick up immediately. Oh, this person is on a mission to get hooked up.
Ooh.
Stay away from those people. Honestly, you'll hurt yourself.
Or have a few drinks and roll the dice. And this is the thing about life, isn't it?
Oy, oy.
It's a box of chocolates.
Yeah, and then you end up with a vajankle.
Oh. Or you're made into one.
Are you doing anything for Valentine's Day? Anybody? I heard Ben's story that he's going to do a Valentine's Day plus
about,
one for Daniela.
That's so sweet.
Mm-mm. It is sweet. Ben's got a good idea.
Not me.
Not at all.
No, I'm actually going out with a friend tonight for dinner.
What kind of a friend?
It's a girlfriend. So that puts a full stop to any sort of thought you had going on. Oh. No, we're just going on together for dinner.
All right, Mubs, what are you throwing down the stairs?
I have a session lined up. It's no big deal.
But doesn't that put pressure
on what?
On what it could be? No. Don't you think like he gets an idea?
No, we are regular sessioners.
The indemnity form at a front gate pretty much ties it up.
There is a clear understanding of how this works.
Thou shalt not draw anything into Valentine's Day.
No.
Guys, what if Jacob Zuma spills the beans? Because I heard reports yesterday that he's calling a press conference. Of course, the presidency quickly moved to deny that there is going to be a press conference at lunchtime, but there might still be. Who knows? This country's so weird.
Mm.
Things happen on the daily. You'd never know. And what if he decides, all right, time for all those skeletons to tumble out. I'm going to give you the real story on Cyril, on Ace, on Jesse, on Figile, on... Mm-hmm. I'll tell you everybody's stories. Because if I'm going down, y'all are going down as well. Wouldn't that be the greatest? Then this president would deserve, finally, after 9 years of bullshitting us and using us and abusing us and selling us to the Guptas, he'd finally deserve some respect from us. Because if he opens up his big book of secrets, because he's got one. We know he's got one.
Oof.
Yes, that would be something, eh? I would respect the guy. I swear. I would immediately go into his corner. Not to stay as president, but I'd say, you know what? He's done his country a great service by opening all the small onion skeleton cupboards. Here are all the bad people. Now we know what we're dealing with. Because if he tells the whole truth and nothing but the truth now, there's room for him to be redeemed.
Well, we do love some gossip. Mm. So we would be privy to...
Can you imagine what he has? Because he's pretty much put the NIA to use over the last couple of years. During his entire presidency, in fact. He's put them to use just outing his political enemies for his own purposes. Now we get that info. Mm.
But now, okay.
What a smorgasbord.
Sorry to be the eternal pessimist here.
Yeah.
But because now this Hawks raid is all over. It's all over Twitter. It's all over news channels. It's just what everyone's talking about now.
They're not going to find anything, are they?
Well, this is my question.
Where does it come from?
Is there any possibility that like they were warned that, oh, by the way...
I reckon there were tips off.
Just a little bit of a heads up. Tomorrow, you might have a whole bunch of cameras in your face.
Trust me, they've destroyed everything.
But guys, I mean,
I don't even think the Guptas are there.
No, I don't think so.
It's now at 7:53. The raid was kind of making news around 7. Where are the BLF? Why aren't they? Where's the ring of protection from the BLF?
No,
why
still,
are they not working up yet?
Why isn't Andile chained to the gates?
No, they're still coordinating what their storyline as part of the script is going to be. So they're still in the WhatsApp group,
It's because someone hasn't got the shop right to get the pies yet.
They're finalizing what their strategy is.
Look up Andile. Let's see what he's up to on Twitter. Maybe he said something interesting in the last little while. Let me just see what he's up to here.
That's a stretch.
Andile, he doesn't come up immediately, so people don't really care about his opinion. And how many followers has he got? 77,000. That's quite a lot for him. Oh, he says, 3 minutes ago, white monopoly capital and its agents who have captured the state doing all to render the Judicial Commission of Inquiry on state capture irrelevant and defunct. They don't even want all corruption probed. Hands off Zuma.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
He says, apparently there is a spectacle at Sachsenwald right now for the satisfaction of white monopoly capital.
Wow.
On the other hand, there is quiet and peace in Stellenbosch, the home of Steinhoff and Marcus Huster. You heard last week Christo Visa sold his shares and left the PIC with the bill. You're this guy is being paid a lot of money to distract us, hey? Or else he's just desperately trying to get some money out of the Guptas before they flee.
But he can follow a script, though. You've got to give him that. I mean, the guy is on point with what's being scripted.
Listen,
to him.
If there's anyone in the world who's unhireable, it's Andile. From now on, this guy will struggle to get a peace job at a spaza shop because no one believes him. If he tells you the price of a chepis is 55 cents, you'll say, aye, call me another cashier, please. You know that, right?
Is there
I don't think spaza shops should be tainted with Andile's.
Yeah, well, true.
These are hardworking individuals.
I take that back. That's quite
Is there any chance this
Thank
raid
you, my buddy,
could
putting
just
me right.
be to take our attention off the possibility of
well,
what is meant to happen at 10 a.m.
Here's the question,
it's
right?
Actually, it's a good point. So, Right now at Oatambo Airport, there is 375 Louis Vuitton bags with currency getting pushed through customs.
But guys, I mean, I'm sorry. If there isn't a writer currently documenting all of this with the purpose of releasing a movie...
Oh.
Like this, yo.
Have
this,
we checked Waterkloof Airport?
This story has to be told.
Ben, can we cross back to the Gupta compound just now, please?
Is there any massive Boeing 747 about to fly out?
We've got an agent on the premises at the moment, and you might have heard some clips earlier. All you heard was quite a lot of swearing. You could hear that it was Atul and AJ. We're not sure because we only have audio. We can't reveal our sources, but. We are trying to get some more live feed from the Gupta compound, and we will alert you as to what's coming from there, even if we don't know who the individuals in the clip are.
Yeah, I'm getting some visuals, and it looks it's blurry.
Yes.
It seems to be going through the garage. I think we're inside the house now.
Bloody fuck you, bloody! Fucking mother, bloody fuck bitch!
Okay, so for what I can see now, I can't make out who they are, but one's being tasked with carrying two massive bags, another one's carrying a small bag.
It's
talking about an accident. Obviously, there's bad back issues here.
Fucking running like lady, eh?
Running like a lady. I mean,
wow, they're really
the problem
stupid.
When you try to move heavy things.
This is a lot like that Nando's ad.
Fucking no shout at me, innit? Huh? Why are you shouting at me?
Because I am going to the work. If you don't yet do the other place.
Going to work, okay.
Because of this, you are doing... Hello? I don't know you are doing like this. I think you are doing...
Okay, I'm pretty sure Ian said I'm running the exact same clip, guys. So if you want better visuals, you can go on to there, and I'm sure you'll get the full picture. All right, well, that wraps up for today. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yo, happy try to just get through today day.
Yeah. Happy Valentine's Day, Atul and AJ and Jacob. And,
yeah. And so for your Valentine's Day treats, in the next hour, Gareth will be chatting with Sam Cowan. Really fantastic interview where Sam talks about some personal troubles that she had, as well as becoming fit, strong, happy, and healthy, all in the next hour. So to play out...
Yeah, that's Sam Cowan. That was a really great conversation, by the way. I remember when she popped in, and I subsequently saw her at the Lowveld Book Festival. We spoke about all kinds of things. She's a radio professional. She's a woman of media credibility in South Africa. She's had an incredibly interesting career, a really interesting life story. She had a battle with alcoholism, which was very public. She wrote a book about it, and she's subsequently taken to swimming, which she does all the time, and she's quite fit as a result of that. Doesn't touch a drop of alcohol anymore.
Yeah, she goes to the zoo lake pool instead.
Yeah, at night.
Oh. So she's brave on top of that.
Yes.
All right, catch you back tomorrow.
Right.
Oh. Hello. Yeah, it's nice we're getting to Valentine's Day.
It's Nina Simone's here.
Oh.
All right, don't spoil it.
No. Let's go.
This is CliffCentral.com.